ప్రతిక్రమ ప్రతిసంక్రమః ఇష్టాపూర్తస్య కామ్యానాం త్రివర్గస్య చ యో విధిః సంప్లవః సర్వభూతానాం విక్రమ ప్రతిసంక్రమః ఇష్టాపూర్తస్య కామ్యానాం త్రివర్గస్య చ యో విధిః సంప్లవః సర్వభూతానాం విక్రమ ప్రతిసంక్రమః ఇష్టాపూర్తస్య కామ్యానాం త్రివర్గస్య చ యో విధిః మాతజీస్ Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swamishwara Prabhupada. Translation: please explain unto me how the living beings are generated, how they are maintained, and how they are annihilated. Tell me also of the advantages and the disadvantages of discharging devotional service unto the Lord. What are the Vedic rituals and injunctions of the supplementary Vedic rites? And what are the procedures of religion, economic development, and sense satisfaction? This is a very long purport, so we will take half of the purport today, and tomorrow the next speaker will complete the purport. Purport: samplava, in the sense of perfect means, is employed to denote the discharging of devotional service, and pratisamplava means just the opposite, or that which destroys the progress of the devotional service. One who is firmly situated in the devotional service of the Lord can very easily execute the function of the conditional life. Living the conditional life is just like plying a boat in the middle of the ocean. One is completely at the mercy of the ocean. At every moment, there is every chance of being drowned in the ocean by slight agitation. If the atmosphere is all right, the boat can ply very easily, undoubtedly. But if there is some storm, fog, wind or cloud, there is every possibility of being drowned in the ocean. No one can control the whims of the ocean. However, one may be materially well equipped. One who has crossed the ocean by ship may have sufficient experience of such dependence upon the mercy of the ocean. But one can ply over the ocean of material existence by the grace of the Lord very easily, without any fear of storm or fog. It all depends on the will of the Lord. No one can help if there is some unfortunate danger in the state of conditional life. The devotees of the Lord, however, cross the ocean of material existence without anxiety, because a pure devotee is always protected by the Lord. Bhagavad Gita 9.13. The Lord gives special attention to His devotees and in their activities within material conditional life. Bhagavad Gita 9.29. Therefore, everyone should take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and be a pure devotee of the Lord by all means. One should know, therefore, from an expert spiritual master the advantages and disadvantages of discharging devotional service. Just as Maharaj Parikshit asked his spiritual master, Srila Shukdev Goswami, according to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the science of devotional service, one should not eat more than what is required, what he requires to maintain body and soul together. Vegetable diets and milk are sufficient for maintenance of the human body, and therefore one has no need to eat anything more to satisfy the palate. One should also not accumulate money to become puffed up in the material world. One should earn his livelihood easily and honestly, for it is better to become a coolie for an honest livelihood than to become a great man in society by hook and crook. There is no harm if one becomes the richest man in the world by honest dealings, but one should not sacrifice the honest means of livelihood simply to accumulate wealth. Such an endeavor is harmful to devotional service. One should not talk nonsense. A devotee's business is to earn the favor of the Lord. Therefore, the devotee should always glorify the Lord in his wonderful creation. A devotee should not decry the creation of the Lord, defying him by saying that he has created a false world. The world is not false. Factually, we have to take so many things from the world for our maintenance. So how can we say that the world is false? Similarly, how can one think of the Lord as being without form? How can one become formless and at the same time have all intelligence and consciousness, direct and indirect? So, there are many things for a pure devotee to learn, and one should learn them perfectly from a bona fide personality like Shukdev Goswami. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manu Bhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuda Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vidandam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripadamaham Vande, Shri Gurum Dinatarinam, Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram, Paramananda Madhavam. Samplava sarva bhutanam vikrama pratisankrama ishtapurthasya kamyanam trivargasya chiyo viduhu. Please explain unto me how the living beings are generated, how they are maintained and how they are annihilated. Tell me also of the advantages and disadvantages of discharging devotional service unto the Lord. What are the Vedic rituals and injections of the supplementary Vedic rites? And what are the procedures of religion, economic development and sense satisfaction? Hare Krishna. We welcome all the devotees for our morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. My humble request to all the devotees to kindly bless so that I can speak something worthwhile on this very exalted topic from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, one of the journalists from Australia, his name is William Arthur. He one time made a very brilliant statement. He said that if you flatter me, then I may not believe you. If you criticize me, then I may not like you. If you ignore me, I may not forgive you. But if you encourage me, then I shall never forget you. And this is what we see, how every page of Srimad Bhagavatam is there to encourage us on our spiritual journey. Because Srimad Bhagavatam encourages and motivates us by telling that even if you fumble on this path, even if you fumble on this path, but if you remain humble, then you will not tumble, but you will remain stable and advance double. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. And the story of Parikshit Maharaj, which flows all across Srimad Bhagavatam, is a great source, it's a great story of encouragement and inspiration for all generations and for all time to come. And these series of questions which are asked by Parikshit Maharaj speaks a lot about Parikshit Maharaj more than anything else. Naturally, so many questions which are put forward by Parikshit Maharaj is for the betterment of all the living entities to get into the knowledge of what reality is. But the life story and especially the questions which are put forward by Parikshit Maharaj speaks a lot. It speaks five things about Parikshit Maharaj. The first, these are five E's that I just thought, after hearing these questions, after reading these questions, the five E's that speaks about Parikshit Maharaj is, first is extra immune to the threefold miseries of this world. Second is extraordinary qualities of Parikshit Maharaj. Third is emotional stability, which Parikshit Maharaj demonstrates. Fourth is equipped with the sword of knowledge. And the fifth is eagerness in asking the question. Eagerness of a lover and not just the inquisitiveness of a jnani. These are the five E's that we can actually learn just by reading the wonderful questions that are being put forward by Parikshit Maharaj. We'll take one by one, these five E's. The first is extra immune to the threefold miseries of this world. It is said that do not let your eyes be covered by tears when you miss an opportunity. Do not let your eyes be covered by tears when you lose an opportunity, because you may lose one more opportunity. Parikshit Maharaj may have failed apparently at the material level, but he did not miss the opportunity to succeed at the spiritual level. We can say that do not let your eyes be covered by tears when you fail, because you may lose an opportunity, you may lose a second chance to pass and clear the exam. Parikshit Maharaj may have lived only for a short duration of life, but actually he did not miss the opportunity to live eternally in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Not only that, Parikshit Maharaj did not let his eyes filled with tears when he got to know that he is going to die within 7 days. Instead of filling his eyes with tears, he filled his heart with unlimited gratitude and devotion for Lord Krishna. And although it may appear that Parikshit Maharaj failed in apparently trying to quench his thirst, but he successfully quenched his thirst for knowing about Krishna more and more. So yes, material thirst may have been the cause of an apparent fall in the life of Parikshit Maharaj, but his spiritual thirst became the cause of his rise and upliftment in his spiritual journey. And just few words after this, Parikshit Maharaj will come up with this beautiful verse where he says, Name savaparayanti brahman anashanadapi pibatochyutapiyusham tadvakyabdi vinisritam. Parikshit Maharaj, after asking series of questions to Shukdev Goswami, he is telling to Shukdev Goswami that please continue on, please answer to me all the questions that I have asked and also answer those things which I have not inquired. Name sava parayanti brahman anashanadapi. Although I am fasting from water and food, the food and water is not creating any, not having food and water is not creating any sort of fatigue or any cause of disturbance in my life. Why? Because whatever I am asking is everything in connection to Krishna. So here we see Parikshit Maharaj, these questions that are put forward by Parikshit Maharaj is helping Parikshit Maharaj to actually rise above the kleshas, the three different kleshas, Adi Daivik, Adi Bhautik, the disturbances caused by one's body and mind. And Parikshit Maharaj went for hunting, but after the entire incident that transpired, Parikshit Maharaj's hunt and quest for knowing about Krishna grew more and more. This is the first E where Parikshit Maharaj actually has extra immune towards the threefold miseries of material life. Second is the extraordinary qualities of Parikshit Maharaj. Through these questions, this entire chapter is filled with questions only. Shukdev Goswami has not begun to answer any of this question. Practically from verse number 7 to verse number 23, we are today on verse number 21, Parikshit Maharaj is asking questions after questions without a break at one go. He is not even waiting to think what should be my next query, what should be my next question. He doesn't take time to ask questions to Shukdev Goswami. He is humbly but very firmly asking questions, which in and of itself brings about the extraordinary qualities of Parikshit Maharaj. Through the series of questions that Parikshit Maharaj has asked, we can make out that Parikshit Maharaj is not only intelligent, but he is also equally immersed. He is not only immersed, but he is also introspective. He is also trying to imbibe and implement whatever Shukdev Goswami is trying to tell him. And above all, as a result of these qualities, intelligent, inquisitive, introspective, and immersed, implementing, he is an ideal example for all the generations to follow and to know what it means to ask or what it means to have a spiritual query. This is these series of questions in and of itself therefore brings out the wonderful extraordinary qualities of Parikshit Maharaj. Third is emotional stability. As we know that Parikshit Maharaj here has asked more than 25 questions. In series of the verses, he's asking more than 25 verses non-stop. He's just shooting questions one after another. And not a single question that Parikshit Maharaj has asked is related to his own personal life. Although so much has transpired, although so much has happened, such traumatic incident has happened in the life of Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj doesn't know, even ask a single question to Shukdev Goswami, why did this happen to me? On the contrary, when we are going a lot in our life, when problems, obstacles, traumatic situations strike our life, our maximum portion of the mind is practically occupied by the problem. And the problematic mind doesn't allow us to think of anything productively except thinking about the problem. As a result, our brain stops functioning and we can't think anything substantial apart from finding a solution to the problem. And in the course of finding the solution to the problem, we end up becoming more frustrated, agitated, restless, and bitter. But here we see the clarity with which Parikshit Maharaj is asking these series of questions without a break, speaks a lot about the emotional stability in the midst of such disturbances in his life. Parikshit Maharaj's entire life's trajectory has actually changed for no mistake of his own. But in spite of all that, he is just so much present in the present that he is not allowing his present to be disturbed by the past, and he's so much focused with the present that he is focused on making the best of his future. And asking questions to Shukdev Goswami as if nothing has happened. As if nothing has gone wrong. And absolutely there is no trace of fear or any sort of regret. This is something extraordinary. We find it so difficult to maintain equilibrium, especially the mental equilibrium, when we go through difficulties in life. But the way Parikshit Maharaj is asking the questions to Shukdev Goswami without any ambiguity, without any stoppage, this speaks how Parikshit Maharaj was so mentally tough and was ready to face anything and everything. So one of our dear God brothers who left this planet, Janakinath Prabhu, he was from London. When he was here, he would often make this statement that for a devotee should never regret a single day in his or her life. Why? Because the good days will anyways bring happiness. The bad days will bring lot of experiences. The worst days will bring lot of lessons. And the best days will bring very good memories to our life. So he would always say that for a devotee, there is no question of regret, because a devotee's life has a lot of hope in the midst of hopelessness. So when we are emotionally unstable, we actually create a lot of problems for our own self. Five easiest way to make our life miserable. Five easiest way. If you want to make your life miserable, you get into these five things and you will make your life miserable. First is unhealthy comparison.
Second, unlimited competition. Third, uncontrolled senses. Fourth, unrealistic expectation. Fifth, unnecessary brooding over the past. And sixth, ungrateful heart. If we have these six, if we don't have these six things, or if we only want to make our life miserable, then one of these things is enough to make our life miserable. Why we are discussing this is, if Parikshit Maharaj was brooding over his past, it would have obviously become evident on his face, in his questions, in his behavior, and in his actions. But we see the type of questions which are raised here by Parikshit Maharaj speaks a lot about his indifference, where there is no trace of the recent past that transpired in the life of Parikshit Maharaj. Giriraj Maharaj one time was sharing, and in fact he shares in his book, that how Prabhupada was so emotionally stable that there was time when Prabhupada had to single-handedly handle the Juhu temple case with Mr. N. And with back and forth argumentation, with back and forth confrontation that was happening, Giriraj Maharaj writes, above all, Prabhupada's main responsibility was to inspire and encourage the devotees who were staying in Juhu. So, in the middle of so much that was happening, and Prabhupada was personally handling, Prabhupada had to sit on the Vyasasana, and while he would sit on the Vyasasana, he would give such an inspirational talk to all the devotees who were emotionally very unstable because of whatever was happening. And Prabhupada would inspire them to such a degree that no one even knew or no one even felt that Prabhupada himself was personally dealing with this entire tough situation. The reason was Prabhupada was so emotionally stable that Prabhupada never ever made his disciples feel what he was going through. One of the leaders in our temple had to give a prerna talk to more than 1,500 students at one point of time. But he told the management that, today I am not well, because of some reason I am quite sick, so I may not be able to give the talk. So the entire management committee was quite discouraged because they had advertised a lot. But in the evening, the senior leader, he was having a very high grade fever. But in spite of having high grade fever, he decided that he would come and he would give a talk. And when he sat on the Vyasasana, it appeared that there's nothing wrong with him. Although he was febrile, although he was having high grade fever, he gave a very long inspirational talk. He took a long question answer sessions. He inspired the students by leading kirtan. And all the students, they went inspired, but without even knowing that the speaker had a high grade fever. And after the program, one senior devotee went and thanked the leader, and this leader embraced him and told him, thank you for allowing me to serve. And then he said that, I don't mind dying 1,000 times. I don't mind dying 1,000 deaths if I can be of any service and I can please you all. So here we see, it's not that they are so good at hiding their emotions, but they are so much absorbed in trying to serve Krishna, and they always see the bigger picture rather than getting stuck, and rather than getting sucked by the mental instability. Even we see in the life of Srivas Thakur, when his own son died, he did not let any devotee to even come to know that his own son has died. And there was so much mourning happening in his own family, in his own house. For hours together, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu and all the associates were dancing without a clue that there is a sad demise in the house of Srivas Thakur. So, this is what Lord Krishna also tells. Yam labdva chaparam labham manyate nadikam tata. Yasmin stito na dukkhena guruna api vichalyate. Someone who is so much absorbed in experiencing the higher taste, that person does not fumble, what to speak of tumbling, in the midst of greatest of the calamities. And here we see in case of Parikshit Maharaj, he is really demonstrating that emotional stability, and the questions that he is asking speaks a lot about his own stability. Fourth, we have discussed till now the three E's. The fourth E is equipped with the sword of sharp intelligence. The type of questions that Parikshit Maharaj has put forward in front of Shukdev Goswami also speaks about Parikshit Maharaj's genius. Parikshit Maharaj is proving this point that he is not going to accept anything blindly, he's not going to be superstitious, that he will accept anything blindly. The very fact that he's asking so many questions speaks about a very high-end IQ of Parikshit Maharaj. So he's not superstitious where he's accepting anything blindly. At the same time, he is not suspicious also about whatever Shukdev Goswami is speaking. So there is a strong balance between being, not being superstitious but very curious, and not being suspicious or doubtful but being very cautious. This situation also came in the life of Arjuna when Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna, "Aparam bhavato janma, param janma vivasvataha." In chapter number 4, right at the beginning of chapter number 4, Lord Krishna tells that I spoke this knowledge long back to Sun God Vivaswan. So Arjuna is not accepting anything blindly, whatever Krishna is saying, but Arjuna is asking question to Lord Krishna. So he's not superstitious, but he's curious to know, how did that happen, my Lord, when you and me both are here now? So how is it that you are senior to Sun God? So Arjuna is not superstitious. Arjuna is not suspicious also. He wants to know the answer. So he's asking these questions by clarifying his doubt. So this is what we see also here. The questions that are put forward by Parikshit Maharaj to Shukdev Goswami, brings out this point of how Parikshit Maharaj is equipped with the sword of intelligence. The fifth is eagerness. The questions that are put forward by Parikshit Maharaj are not the typical questions which are put forward by a jigyasu or put forward by an inquisitive. Yes, Parikshit Maharaj was inquisitive, but the inquisitiveness of Parikshit Maharaj is not that of a jnani. Inquisitiveness of Parikshit Maharaj is that of a lover wanting to know everything and anything of one's beloved. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam in one line, if someone wants to define what is Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam in one word is nothing but a love story. A love story between No, the lover and the beloved, the love story between the Lord and his devotee. And one of the signs of someone whom we love is a quest or a thirst to know or to hear more and more about that person. Not only hear about that person, but also know anything and everything in connection to that person. And more we hear about whom we love, our love automatically grows. So, only after hearing, our eagerness to meet that person grows. And only after, and even if we can't meet that person, we would like to at least see that person from a far off distance. And even if we can't see that person from a far off distance, we would want to offer an indirect service to that person to whom we love. And this is how Srimad Bhagavatam encourages a conditioned living entity. A conditioned living entity is immersed in spiritual stupor and a spiritual lethargy and a spiritual inertia. Srimad Bhagavatam, through the example of Parikshit Maharaj, is actually helping that conditioned living entity to develop an iota or a fraction of eagerness and attraction for practicing bhakti. So as we discussed in the beginning, how Srimad Bhagavatam is there to encourage all of us in our journey, in our spiritual journey. And here we see through the example of Parikshit Maharaj, he is asking so many questions. First of all, someone who has no affinity or someone who has apathy towards spirituality, why would that person ask any question? And even if that person asks any question, it has nothing to do with spirituality. Prabhupada was in MIT. Prabhupada was giving a talk. One boy raised his hand and he asked, "Swamiji, why are you applying this clay on your forehead?" Prabhupada immediately questioned him, counter-questioned him. And he said, "Why are you wearing this cloth around your neck?" So that boy was wearing tie. And when this boy heard Prabhupada asking him question, he could not answer. So Prabhupada said, "Sit down. You should know what type of question to ask in front of a spiritual teacher." So most of the people, they don't even have that bandwidth to understand or to ask the right type of questions. And here we see the series of questions, 25 questions being put forward by Parikshit Maharaj, is really out of his eagerness to know about his beloved Lord Sri Hari. And that eagerness is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam with the word called lalasaha. Srimad Bhagavatam speaks about 5 different types of lalasa, or an hankering or a eagerness that a devotee has towards the Supreme Lord. The first is the lalasa that every conditioned living entity has, which is called as Vishaya Lalasa. Srimad Bhagavatam in the 5th canto speaks about the Vishaya Lalasa, where Vidyadharas are offering prayers to Lord Krishna. And in one of the prayers that they offer, they mention, "Tvam mayayartham abhipatya kalevaresmin kritva mamaham iti durmatir utpatesve kshiptopyasad vishaya lalasa atma moham yusmat kathamritani sevaka udvadasyet." So Vidyadharas are praying that, "My dear Lord, the material body that we have received is actually meant for perfecting one's human form of life, and it is meant for attaining the highest object. But unfortunately, because of Vishaya Lalasa, because of too much hankering for the sense objects, We are constantly drowning in the ocean of illusion. But my dear Lord, serving or your devotional service is so powerful that if someone engages in the hearing and chanting of your glories, can actually be delivered from this greatest illusion. So this Vishaya Lalasa is what a conditioned living entity is eternally drowning in. But devotional service helps a living entity. Practicing devotional service helps a living entity to actually experience, you know, a higher type of Lalasa, which is also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Jivere Lalasa hoye ityuti dhaye Shishnodara Parayana. Krishna nahi paaye. This is what Chaitanya Charitamrita says. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, out of his humility, he is actually telling, Murkha niche shudra mui vishaya lalas, Vaishnav agya boli kare, etaka sahas. I am actually murkha, niche, shudra, and I am completely entrapped and enveloped by vishaya lalasa. But the mercy of the devotees is my only hope where I can actually, make an attempt to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. The second lalasa that Srimad Bhagavatam speak, and we see even in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, the eagerness is the Shravana lalasa, the eagerness to hear more and more. Parikshit Maharaj, in the 10th canto was spoken when already 4 days, almost 3 days have passed, and Parikshit Maharaj is still fasting from food and water. And here, Parikshit Maharaj is actually inspiring Shukdev Goswami to speak more and more. And he is telling, Brahman Krishna Katha Punya Madhvir Loka Malapaha Konutrapyeta Shrunvana Shrutogya Shrutagyo Nitya Nutanaha. He is telling to Shukdev Goswami that, my dear Shukdev Goswami, Krishna Katha has, this 4 attributes. Krishna Katha is Madhvi. Krishna Katha is sweeter than nectar. Krishna Katha is Punya. Krishna Katha generates Punya or Sukriti more than any other activity. Third, Loka Malapaha. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord removes contamination from one's heart. And Krishna Katha is Nitya Nutana. Krishna Katha is ever fresh and ever green. Parikshit Maharaj is telling this to Shukdev Goswami, which actually speaks about Shukdev Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj's eagerness to hear more and more about Krishna. That is Shravana Lalasa. The third Lalasa is Darshana Lalasa. Eagerness to have the darshan of Lord Hari. One time His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was giving a talk glorifying one of his god sister, Ladini Mataji. And Maharaj was speaking about the glories of this devotee, where she would stand in front of the deities for more than 8 hours taking darshan. And Maharaj said that we cannot imitate such great personalities, but our eagerness should be that even if the trains don't function, we run from Mira Road to come to Chopati to see the darshan of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So that's the eagerness of a devotee. Darshan Lalasa. When Rukmini Devi is awaiting Lord Krishna's response, and she is so eager to have Lord Krishna in her life, she is writing a beautiful letter to Lord Krishna. And one of the prayers that she offers in this letter is how she is eager to have Lord Krishna. Without Lord Krishna in her life, she is willing to give up her life 100 times. She doesn't mind giving up her life 100 times if after 100 lifetimes she will get Krishna as her husband. Yasya angri pankajar jasnapanam mahanto vanchantyuma patir ivatmatamo pahatyai yaryam bujakshanalabheya bhavat prasadam jayyam asun vratakrishan shatajanma bhisyat. That lotus feet, the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Hari is aspired and longed even after Umapati or the husband of Mother Uma, that is Lord Shiva. And she's telling, I aspire for the dust of that lotus feet. And if I won't have you as my husband, my dear Lord, Jayam Asun Vrata Shata Janma Bhisyad, I don't mind giving up my body 100 times, but I want to have you. I want to have your darshan. This darshan lalasa comes again and again in Srimad Bhagavatam. Iti gopya pragayanta pralapantyascha chitrada rurudam susvaram rajan Krishna darshan lalasa. The gopis, they were so eager, they were so much longing to have that glance of Lord Sri Krishna when Lord Krishna left the gopis in the middle of the night. And the gopis, they sang the beautiful gopi kid, and that's when the eagerness of the gopis forced Lord Krishna to appear in front of them. Rurudha susvaram rajan Krishna darshana lalasa. When Krishna is entering Dwarka, when Krishna is traveling from Hastinapur entering into Dwarka, the Dwarkavasis had that laulyam, that greed, that eagerness, that lalasa to have the darshan of the Supreme Lord Sri Hari. So this is one of the lalasas that Srimad Bhagavatam speaks about, the hankering, the eagerness. The fourth type of lalasa, the first is Vishaya lalasa, second is Shravana lalasa, third is Darshan lalasa, fourth is Seva lalasa. Srimad Bhagavatam speaks about this verse, Kapilo narado datto yogesha sanakadaya tam anviyur bhagavata yachatat sevakon utsukaha. These great personalities are so utsuk, they are so eager to serve the Supreme Lord all the time. And this eagerness to serve, is actually the hope for a struggling sadhaka. Only when we develop this type of eagerness for service, any sort of service, could be small, could be whatever service that we get, that eagerness is actually the foundation on which our spiritual life can really grow and sustain. The fifth lalasa is the upasana lalasa, which Srimad Bhagavatam speaks in the 11th canto, Govinda Bhuja Guptayam Dwaravatyam Kurudvaha Avatsin Narado Bhikshnam Krishnopasana Lalasaha. Narad Muni, who is constantly chanting the names of Lord Sri Hari, is so eager to worship the Supreme Lord who is residing in Dwarka. And such great personality who has done enough of bhakti is showing through his own example that more we perform bhakti, it's not that more we develop saturation. More we perform bhakti unto the Supreme Lord, more our eagerness to chant, to hear, grows. That's why great personalities like Rupa Goswami, they desire thousands and thousands of ears and thousands of tongues to chant the holy names of Lord Sri Hari. And finally, Srimad Bhagavatam comes up with this beautiful verse from the sixth canto, the prayers by Vritrasur, where Vritrasur is expressing his longing and eagerness to serve the Supreme Lord. Ajata paksha iva mataram khaga stanyam yatha vatsarata kshudartha priyam priyeva vishitam vishanna manoravindakshadidrikshate tvam. Vritrasura is offering his prayer, the final prayer that he is offering before departing from this world. My dear Lord, what do I ultimately aspire and long for? I long for that eagerness to be with you, just as the eagerness that is demonstrated by a small baby bird for its mother. The baby bird is constantly looking for mother for two reasons. One for nourishment and one for protection. Protection from other birds who may just come and kill that small baby, and nourishment in the form of food. So a baby bird is constantly hankering for the association of mother for these two reasons. So after uttering this beautiful prayer, the first line, Vritrasura is saying, oh no, this is quite selfish. Where a mother bird has to come all the way to serve the child. This is not that pure. So then he offers the second stanza and second line where he says, stanyam yatha vatsarata kshudartha. Just as the calf is so eager and waiting, to drink the milk from the udder of her mother. In the first case, the mother bird runs to the baby bird, and here the baby calf runs towards the mother cow. But still he thinks that still there is a tinge of selfishness. Why? Because the baby calf or the calf is actually wanting mother because she wants to drink milk. So there is still their self-interest involved. The third, that's why he goes further and he comes up with this third beautiful understanding. Priyam priyeva vyushitum vishanna manoravindaksha tridikshate tvam. Just as a woman who has been waiting for her husband, who has been out for a long period of time, the woman is constantly thinking about the welfare of the husband. The wife is constantly thinking, did my husband know whether he has eaten, how he must be right now, what he must be going through at this point of time, when will my husband return? And in that longing, her eagerness, in that separation, the eagerness grows more and more. And that's when the husband actually appears, her only service is to please her husband and serve her husband. Of course, in today's day and age, with so much social media and so much technology that's advanced, you can be in touch with anyone. A wife can be in touch with husband, even if the husband is far away. So when the husband is returning, there is no excitement in one sense. Because anyways, they are in constant touch and there is nothing wrong in it. But if the husband says that, okay, I am supposed to reach at 10 o'clock, till 9:30 there is no excitement. 9:30, 9:45, 10 o'clock, if the husband doesn't come, then there is a slight drop of anxiety, husband didn't come. And if she tries to contact her husband and the phone is not reachable, the message is not going, then that anxiety grows. Till that time, probably nowadays, you know, there is no excitement, there is no anxiety that will actually grow. But the point is how this is the ultimate example that is given by Dhritarasura, because he is longing to be with the Lord and serve the Supreme Lord. Our acharyas explain how do we develop that eagerness, whether it's darshan lalasa, shravana lalasa, or any other type of lalasa. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, for a sadhaka to move from Vedi sadhana bhakti to raganuga bhakti, only one thing is required, and that is eagerness. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, how can one develop that eagerness to move from Vedi sadhana bhakti to raganuga bhakti? And he says two things. One is constant worshipping the deities, and second, constant hearing Krishna katha. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Rupa Goswami, he comes up with this beautiful verse, Tatra laulyam ekalam api mulyam janma koti sukruti na labhyate. So Rupa Goswami tells that the way to develop eagerness is to rigidly and sincerely follow the limbs of sadhana bhakti. So there he comes up with utsaha, nishchaya, dhairya, tat tat karma pravartana. So today's verse, actually Prabhupada speaks about the favorable and the unfavorable item of devotional service. What are the unfavorable things? Prabhupada speaks about atyahar, prayasasya, prajalpo, niyamagraha. And then in tomorrow's verse, tomorrow's purport, Prabhupada will speak about only one point, and that is utsaha. How a devotee should never lose hope, but be enthusiastic and never get discouraged. So Rupa Goswami comes up with this solution to develop eagerness. I'll just end with this. His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, one time while he was giving an offering to Srila Prabhupada on his Vyas Puja day, Giriraj Maharaj, he mentioned one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, this is the secret to develop tivrata or eagerness in devotional service. And he quotes this verse, Yat sevaya bhagavata kutastasya madhudvisha rati raso bhavet tivra padayor vyasanardanaha. He mentions that service to spiritual master is the secret to develop eagerness or tivrata. And then he quotes Jiva Goswami. Further, where Jiva Goswami says that yes, service to the spiritual master, association of spiritual master is not enough, but more than prasanga or association of spiritual master is paricharya. So along with prasanga, one needs to have paricharya. Paricharya means one offers humble, submissive service unto one's spiritual master. So this is a great hope for us. Continue serving Srila Prabhupada in this mission, in his mission, come what may, taking inspiration and taking encouragement from Parikshit Maharaj. And one day we will also develop that tivrata or eagerness to be with the Supreme Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Lord Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.